right, if you got a Bible, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. It's good to be back at Holy Hills on another Wednesday night. I hope we've been a blessing to you. And there was a time in my ministry that I wanted to impress people, but thankfully I've come to the place where I just want to be a blessing and just try to be a help. And it's good to be with our friends, the Hinkles. They were with us for a camp meeting. And I've known them for a few years now, and I can tell you from experience that video, they didn't just make that for show. That is truly a day in the life of the Hinkle family, probably one of the easier days. And so they're not entertainers, and they truly minister, and we thank God for that. And I hope you gave well tonight what the Lord put on your heart to give, and I'm sure it'd be a blessing to them. And I'm pretty sure James is going to be needing a right knee replacement in the next couple years, and so they could use all the help they can get. Genesis chapter number 45 in our Bibles tonight. When you come to Genesis chapter number 45, next to Jesus on the cross of Calvary, this is probably one of the greatest acts of forgiveness you'll ever find in the Word of God. Because here Joseph comes face to face with his brothers. The same brothers that, lied about him. The same brothers that betrayed him. The same brothers that the Bible says could not speak peaceably to him. The brothers that sold him off into slavery, and because of that he wound up falsely accused, sitting in a prison. The brothers that cost him years of his life. Here he comes face to face with them for the first time since all that happened in Genesis chapter number 45. Now, if this were a Saturday night movie, it'd be payback time. Because not only has he come face to face with his brothers, Joseph is now the number two man and the most powerful nation on all the earth. And he holds the entire world's food supply in his hand. I mean, if this had been a movie, this would have been payback time. And if truth were told, most of us in this auditorium probably would have been rooting for Joseph. Get him, get him, get him. But may I remind you tonight that the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You and I have no more right to get revenge than we do saving somebody's soul. Revenge is no more in our department than salvation is. And here Joseph comes face to face with his brothers, and I want you to see what he does. Begin looking with me in verse number 4. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath there been famine in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. What does Joseph do? He forgives. What does Joseph do to the brothers that betrayed him, the brothers that forsook him, the brothers that sold him off into slavery, the brothers that did unspeakable things too? What does he do? He forgives them. And tonight I want us to look at something. I want us to go back to chapter number 42 and I want us to see something. Go back with me to chapter number 42. Watch what happens in verse number 6. Chapter number 42, verse number 6. Now Joseph again sees his brothers, but this time he doesn't make himself known to his brothers. Joseph is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he knows them, but they don't know him. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. Joseph knows who they are, and Joseph's watching out for him, and Joseph's protecting them, but they don't know who he is yet. That happens in chapter number 45. But watch what happens in chapter number 42. Look in verse number 6, and it says, "And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them." And notice what happens, "and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." Drop down to verse number 17. "And he," that's Joseph, "put them," that's his brothers, "all together into ward or prison for 3 days." Now, I want you to see what happens. The same Joseph that's about to forgive them in chapter number 45 is speaking roughly to them in chapter number 42. The same Joseph that's about to forgive them for everything that they ever did to him in chapter number 45 is now putting them in prison in chapter number 42. So what happens between chapter number 42 and chapter number 45? How do we go from speaking roughly to somebody and putting somebody in prison for 3 days to forgiving them for every horrible thing that they ever did to you just 3 chapters later? What changed in the life of Joseph in those 3 chapters? What changed in the life of his brothers in those 3 chapters? Well, again, what happened? As far as Joseph is concerned, nothing happened. I want you to know tonight that Joseph was just as willing to forgive them in chapter number 42 as he was in chapter number 45. I want you to know that Joseph was just as willing, just as ready to forgive his brothers in chapter number 42 as he was in chapter number 45. So as far as Joseph was concerned, absolutely nothing happened in those 3 chapters. Joseph was the same. But as far as his brothers were concerned, everything happened. You see, Joseph was willing to offer forgiveness. The problem was his brothers weren't ready to receive it yet. You see, Joseph was willing to forgive. The problem was his brothers had not come to the place where they could accept his forgiveness. You see, forgiveness offered is one thing. Forgiveness received is something different. You see, forgiveness is a two-sided coin. On the one side, you've got the giver or the forgiver. On the other side of the coin, you've got the receiver or the one that's being forgiven. And just because someone offers forgiveness does not mean the other person's going to accept it. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God offers salvation to every man, woman, boy, and girl upon planet Earth. I'm not a Calvinist. I still believe in a whosoever will gospel. I still believe that it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or how deep into the pit you've gone, there's still hope in Jesus Christ. By the way, you ever notice, at least I have, I've never met a Calvinist that was predestined to go to hell. You ever met a Calvinist predestined to go? Every Calvinist I ever met just happens to be one of the ones predestined to go to heaven. Ain't that convenient? One time in my life, I'd like to meet a Calvinist that says, I'm predestined to go to hell and there's not a thing I can do about it. They all just happen to be going. It's always the guy down the street. It's always the other guy. And here Joseph comes and he forgives. And he's ready to forgive. He wants to forgive. He's willing to forgive. That's what the Bible says about Christ. He's ready to forgive. But the problem is they're just not ready to receive it yet. Again, God offers salvation to every man, woman, boy, and girl. But you know as well as I do, not everybody's going to receive that gift. Not everybody's going to receive that forgiveness, even though Jesus Christ has offered it to whosoever will. Let him come. Not everybody receives that. And so tonight, just for a little while, I want us to look at what I call the two sides of forgiveness. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. And Father, we thank you just for another opportunity. God, freedom we still have just to be able to get up and come to the house of God and worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, I thank you for the good singing, God, that we've had. And we, God, pray for the Hinkle family. God, I pray you'd meet every need that they have and just continue to use them in a mighty way. God, as they give hope and encouragement to a forgotten people. And God, that you might use them in a special way to do that. Bless our time together tonight. God, I pray you'd use me as an instrument in your hands. God, just a vessel that you can use to do what you want done in this place. Father, have your will and way now. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. And amen. Let's look at the one side very quickly. Let's look at the giver or the forgiver. Because understand tonight, God commands us to forgive. Forgiveness is not optional in the Christian life. Forgiveness is not an elective course. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you and I have got to learn how to forgive. And I've seen a lot of people that want to do what Jesus wants to do. Some of the charismatic folks that I know, they want to heal like Jesus healed. Just speak the word, and I mean, it's all better, just like that. My independent Baptist brethren, they want to preach like Jesus did. But I don't find a whole lot of people that are all that crazy about forgiving like Jesus did. I don't see a whole lot of folks getting all that excited about wanting to learn how to forgive like Jesus did. But my friend, I want you to understand, you and I must learn how to forgive. You're not going to live on this planet very long before you're put in a situation where you must forgive somebody. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I thank God that He's my burden bearer. I thank God that He carries my load. But I found out a long time ago there's one load that God will not carry with me. There's one load that God will not carry for me, and that's a chip on my shoulder. God says, I ain't having anything to do with that. You want one of those, you can carry that by yourself. And I'm here to tell you tonight, heaviest weight you'll ever carry in your life is a big old chip on your shoulder. You and I have got to learn how to forgive. Again, revenge is God's department. So how does Joseph do it? Because forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is required. Forgiveness simply means to abandon. It means to release somebody from a debt. That's what it means to forgive. You don't owe me anything anymore. In reality, forgiveness is just simply me giving up my desire to hurt you the same way that you hurt me. That's what forgiveness is. And let's look at how Joseph does it. How does Joseph forgive? Well, go back with me to chapter number 42. Look in verse number 8. Genesis chapter number 42. Look in verse number 8. Watch what happens. It says, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not, or knew not him. Watch what happens in verse number 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams. So how did Joseph forgive? Well, number one, Joseph remembered the promises of God. You see, God spoke to Joseph in the dreams. Joseph did not have a complete copy of the Word of God like you and I do. In fact, the man that wrote the first five books hadn't even been born yet. Joseph did not have what you and I have. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God at sundry times spoke in diverse manners. And one of the ways that God spoke, and he spoke to Joseph this way, is through dreams. Now again, we've got a completed copy of the Word of God, so we don't need that anymore. But God spoke to Joseph in the dreams, and Joseph knew exactly what God had told him. You read the story, he told the dream at the breakfast table. His brothers looked at him and said, "Are we going to bow down to you?" His daddy looked at him and said, "Me and your mama going to bow down to you?" Understand, his brothers knew what the dreams meant. His daddy knew what the dreams meant. And I'm here to tell you, Joseph knew exactly what the dreams meant. Joseph did not go through his life wondering what those dreams meant. Joseph did not go through his life wondering what God had said. Appreciate you, man. Thanks, sir. He didn't go through his life wondering, I wonder what that meant. I wonder what all that was about the sheaves bound down. Joseph knew. His brothers knew. His daddy knew. Joseph knew. In fact, go with me to Psalm chapter number 107. Watch what happens. Joseph's dreams were as good as the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 105. Look in verse number 16. Watch what it says. It says, "Moreover, he," that's God, "called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron." Watch what happens in verse number 19. "Until the time that his word came," notice this, "the word of the Lord tried him." What word of the Lord? There was no written word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord that God gave to Joseph in the dreams. And the Bible says that that word tried him. You see, what Joseph was experiencing at that moment and what God had promised him were exactly the opposite. My friend, I want you to know there's going to be times in your Christian life and mine when God's promises and your circumstances are going to be running on the opposite sides of the highway. There's going to be times in your life and mine that what God has promised you in His Word, what God has told you in His Word, what God promised, this is what I'm going to do for you, and what you're experiencing in your life at that particular moment are going to be exact opposites. God told Joseph, one day you're going to be in charge. One day people are going to bow down to you. His brothers understood it, his daddies understood it, and Joseph understood it. But in Psalm 105, Joseph sits in a prison, falsely accused, sold as a slave. Everything that Joseph was experiencing circumstantially in his life were going exactly the opposite of what God had promised him. Everything that God had promised him and what Joseph was going through at that particular moment in his life were complete and total opposites. And Joseph had one of two choices. And that's, my friend, where the word of the Lord tried him. And Joseph had one of two choices. You can either believe God, or you can believe your circumstances. Joseph, you can believe what I told you. Joseph, I don't care if you've been sold for a slave. Joseph, I don't care if you're sitting in prison. I don't care how long you've been there. Joseph, this is what I promised you. And you can either believe me or you can believe your circumstances. My friend, I want you to know many times God gives us the same choice. There are times in our life that God gives us a promise out of His Word, just a personal promise. God says, "I'm going to take care of it." God says, "This is what I'm going to do for you." And then all of a sudden, every circumstance in your life goes exactly the opposite of what God has just promised you. And God says, "You got two choices right now. You can believe me, or you can believe what you're going through. You can keep your eyes focused on me and believe me, or you can keep your eyes on your circumstances. And that's where the word of the Lord tried Joseph. That's where the word of the Lord tries us. Joseph knew what God had promised him. Joseph knew, I don't care what I'm going through at this particular moment. I don't care if I've been sold off as a slave. I don't care if I am sitting in prison. God said one day I'm going to be in charge. I don't know when and I don't know how. All I know is it's going to happen because that's what God said. And the word of the Lord tries him. And what's the first thing that Joseph remembers when his brothers come? In chapter number 42 and verse number 9, it says, and Joseph remembered the dreams. How did Joseph forgive his brothers? Number one, he forgave them by remembering the promises of God. He remembered what God promised him. He remembered what God told him. He remembered that God did exactly what God said he was going to do. My friend, how can we forgive? Just remember the promises of God. Just remember what God has said. Don't focus on your circumstance. Don't focus on what you're going through. Focus on what God has said to us in His Word. And my friend, I'm going to tell you something. You and I cannot control what people say. You and I cannot control what people do. But you and I can control how we respond to that person. And we can either choose to forgive them or we can choose not to. We can choose to love them or we can choose to love. Love's a choice. You love people because you choose to love them, and you don't love people because you choose not to love them. Now, granted, some folks are harder to love than others, but whether or not I love them is still my choice. Because really, it's not up to them. You want to love how Jesus, you know, we don't want to forgive how Jesus forgave. We don't want to love how Jesus loved. You know how Jesus loves? Unconditionally. You see, Jesus' love for me is not based upon me. Man, you want something that'll set you free? Jesus' love for you and me is not based upon you and me. Jesus' love for me is unconditional. Here's what that means. It means that He's not going to love me any more tomorrow than He does right now. It means that He's not going to love me any more next week than He does right now. That means if I do good and I preach well and I do what I'm supposed to do today, He loves me. And tomorrow if I get up in a foul mood and I don't get my cup of coffee and I blow it, He loves me just as much as He did tonight. Why? Because His love's not based upon me. His love's based upon Him. And He doesn't change. And He says, I want you to love folks the same way. You love them unconditionally. One of the things that I've seen happening in many of our independent Baptist churches, we love folks based upon them. You perform right, we'll love you. You act right, we'll love you. You dress right and spit white, we'll love you. Now you don't, now we got a problem. That's not how God loves. Now I'm not saying we tell folks that's right. I'm not saying say what's wrong is right. But folks, we need to start loving people right where they are. Best thing you can do for somebody is just love them right where they are. Unconditionally. Don't love, well, I'll love you as soon as you get to this point right here. But until then, we've got issues. No, you can love them all the way back here if you just want to. If you just would. How did Joseph forgive? He remembered the promises of God very quickly. How did he forgive? He remembered the sovereignty of God. Go over with me to chapter number 45. Chapter number 45, watch what happens. Look in verse number 6. You tell me if Joseph had God's sovereignty figured out. Look in verse number 6. He says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Notice this. And who sent me before you? God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse number 8. So now that it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Verse number 9, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. You know what Joseph told his brothers? Said it wasn't you, it was God. I know you did me dirty and I know you did me wrong and I know you said things and did things that you ought not have said or ought not have did. But you know what? God was in control. God was still in complete control of every detail that's going on. Go with me to the book of Job very quickly. The book of Job, chapter number 1. The book of Job, chapter number 1. Verse number 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. My friend, you ever think you had a bad day? You read Job chapter number 1. You know the story. Devil comes to God. God takes one look at the devil. He says, you've been looking at Job, haven't you? He said, yep, I'd get him too if you'd remove that stupid hedge. Take that hedge down. God drops the hedge, and then in rapid fire succession, the devil comes down on Job like a ton of bricks. Job literally loses everything that he has. But watch what he says in verse number 19, or verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say the Lord gave and the devil just took it all away. He said the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken it all away. In other words, Job says, I know that the devil is doing this. I know that the devil is behind this. But God is still in control. Ultimately, it's God. And here Joseph remembers that God was still in control. Here Joseph remembers that it was God. His brothers did some things that they ought not have done, but God was still in control. Let me give you one illustration very quickly. I'll show you the flip side of forgiveness. It won't take me long to do that, but I remember up until this past year, I worked for the school system. And it's a whole different ball game than what it used to be. I mean, I'm not just talking about technology. I mean, I'm talking about attitudes, I'm talking about security, I'm talking about everything, especially security. And I worked in the middle school. And the middle school, what they did, the doors were only open at certain times of the day, because during the day, everything would lock down. And there was only one way into that school, and that was through the front doors, which took you right into the front office. And even then, you didn't get in unless you hit the buzzer. They had a camera there, and the secretary there, she could see, you know, outside the building who was standing there at the door, and she chose whether or not to open it. And, you know, if she, you know, thought it was all right to open it, she'd open it. First place they'd go was the office. And then what the office would do is they would give them this huge visitor's badge. I mean, this thing just about, you know, take up half your shirt. And they would, you know, they'd write their name on it and they would stick it there. You see, anybody that walked in the hallway, that school had one of two kinds of identification. They either had, you know, a staff badge or they had a visitor's badge. And if they didn't have one of those two things, if we didn't recognize them as staff, if we didn't recognize them as somebody that worked there, one of the teachers or one of the workers there, the first thing that we looked for was that big visitor's badge. And even though I didn't know them, if I saw that visitor's badge, here's what it told me, that it's okay for them to be out here because they've gone through the front office and they've checked in and they've given them permission to be out here in these hallways. Now, if I didn't see that, then we're going to have a problem. In fact, there was one day that I didn't. Thankfully, it was all right. It was just somebody that was allowed to come in that shouldn't have at that particular moment. But my friend, I want you to know it's the same way with God. Sometimes there are things that come into my life And some of them I'm not all that excited about, but one of the first things I look for is I look for that big old badge. And you know what it tells me? It says it's already gone by the throne of grace. God's already given it permission to be in my life. God's still in control. God's still on the throne. It's not here by accident. It's not here by happenstance. It's here for a reason. Good or bad, God's allowed it. And when I see that and I know that God is still in my friend, listen, the only way you're going to make it through the trials of life, the only way you're going to learn how to forgive, you're going to have to realize that God is still in control. Yeah, they did something they shouldn't have done, but God was still in control. Yes, they might have said something that they shouldn't have said, but God is still in control. Yes, they might have done things to you and said things about you and dragged your reputation through the mud and done all sorts of things that they ought not done, just like Joseph's brothers, but you got to remember that God is still in control and He's allowed it for a reason. And Joseph knew that He allowed it for a reason. He said, He sent me before you. He said, you didn't sell me off to slavery. God sent me out here as a point man. God sent me out here to save your life. My friend, the only way we're going to be able to forgive is to understand that God's in control. Very quickly, let's see the flip side of forgiveness. Joseph is the forgiver. Now we need to look at the ones very quickly who are being forgiven. Joseph in chapter number 45 is getting ready to forgive them. Joseph in chapter number 45 displays one of the greatest acts of forgiveness in all the Word of God. But in chapter number 42, it doesn't look like he really wants to forgive them, but he does. Doesn't look like he wants to do that for him, but he does. So why does Joseph do what he does? Again, he's got to get them ready. They're not ready to receive it. They haven't come to the place. Forgiveness offered is one thing. Forgiveness received is something else. Watch what happens. Verse number 17, chapter number 42. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye and carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, and so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Now watch what happens in verse number 21. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. Now understand, they don't know it's him yet. They have no idea this is Joseph. We're very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Why does Joseph do what he does in chapter? Is it that he doesn't want to forgive? Sure he does. He's ready, he's willing, he wants to forgive. The problem is they haven't reached a point where they're ready to receive it yet. And so Joseph puts them in prison for 3 days. He speaks roughly to them. He puts them in prison for 3 days. They get out of prison, and what's the first thing that comes to their mind? We're wrong. We're guilty. First thing that comes to Joseph's mind was the promises of God. First things that come to their mind is, we are guilty. We never should have done that to Joseph. We never should have sold him off into slavery. We never should have lied about him. This has all come up. We are deserving everything that we're getting right now. We're guilty. And when they came to the point where they realized they were guilty, when they came to the point where they realized that they'd messed up, where they came to the point. See, before then, far as we know, they never thought anything about it. I'm convinced if Joseph would have offered them forgiveness before that point, they would have shut him down and said, we don't want it, we don't need it, we're glad you're gone. We did our family a favor. But all of a sudden, after being in prison for 3 days, after Joseph saying what he said to them, all of a sudden they come to the point in their life for the very first time, they realize they're guilty. They realize that they had sinned. They realize that they had messed up and they deserved to be punished. And then, and only then, were they able to receive the forgiveness that Joseph offered them in chapter number 45. Folks, understand me tonight. An unrepentant person cannot and will not receive the forgiveness of God. If they don't realize they're guilty, if they don't realize they've messed up, if they don't realize they're lost, they ain't getting saved. They have got to come to the place where they realize I've sinned, I'm guilty, and I deserve to be punished. And then, and only then, can they receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has to offer. You read about the Lord Jesus Christ as He hung there between the two thieves. We have this idea that one thief was a good thief and the other thief was a bad thief, and only one thief was saying a bunch of junk he shouldn't have been saying. You read the story, my friend, it was both those thieves that were railing on Him. It was both those thieves that were cursing Him. It was both those thieves that were talking things about Him that they shouldn't have been saying. And as they hung there together on those three crosses, something happened to one of those thieves. He looked at the other one and he said, "We're guilty. I deserve to be here. I sinned. I've messed up. I deserve to be punished for what I've done, and I've done some horrible, horrible things." And then, and only then, does he turn and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." And the Lord looks at him and says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Why? He had come to the place where he realized he was guilty. He'd come to the place where he realized, "I've messed up and I need forgiveness." One of the greatest things you can help somebody to do is help them to understand, number one, that they're a sinner, but number two, there is a Savior. Thank God for Joseph. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. Amen. Brother Jeremy.